All those who come regularly to this church, raise your hand. Oh, amen. Gee, look at you. Lovely to have you here tonight, and God bless you. No free cappuccinos for you, unfortunately. God has promised us that He's building His church. We got to seek the kingdom, and that's the establishment of His authority over every realm of life, beginning with us. But He is building His church. And Brad did such a good job last week in just tying the picture into Ezra and the building of the temple, and the just tying it into the whole concept of His building project. He is the architect of His building project. And the reason He's building is because He wants to fill it with His glory. He wants to fill His church with His glory. And in the last days, He promised that the glory of His latter house is even going to be more wonderful than the glory of Solomon's temple, of David's tabernacle, certainly of Herod's temple, we heard last week. God didn't like Herod's temple, according to Brad. But whatever house was built with the understanding that God's presence would be there, Jesus says, I'm building my church. And the glory of the church in the last days is going to be far more wonderful than any eyes seen or ears heard or can enter into our hearts. And there's a prophetic word to us as a church at the moment. I wonder if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 60 in your Bible. And let's read together. My wife was telling me that in the Amplified Bible. Anyone here got an Amplified Bible? Have you got a front row? Is there? Oh, it's not here. That doesn't really help us. It's nice that you've got an Amplified Bible. Anyone else got an Amplified Bible at home? Other than Issa? Anyone got one here tonight? Oh, Anne, don't you want to bring your Bible? Please. And Trev, would you take the mic there and read for us? Before it comes up on the overhead, let's hear what it says in the Loud Bible. It's the Amplified. Amplified Bible. Loud. All right. Okay, Trev, you read. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Old Testament, Trev.
Isaiah 60, 1 and 2.
Genesis, Exodus, Isaiah.
What? 1 and 2.
Verse 1 and 2.
They got a whole lot of stuff in. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and His glory shall be seen on you.
Amen. Lord, thank You for Your word tonight, and I just pray that You'll anoint it to our hearts, and that You'll cause us to hear with our heart first, and then from our heart to have our minds renewed. Not to try and hear it with our minds and then filter it into our hearts. But tonight, Spirit of God, would You cause the Word of God to be quick and alive. In Jesus' name. Amen. James, if we can have that verse up. Well, if you've got it in your Bibles, I want to do something different with that. I want to go to verse 2 and I want to read backwards. You say, why are you reading the Bible backwards? Because I can. No, seriously. Sometimes it's quite interesting. If you take some passages and you go backwards, it gives it quite an interesting insight. I'm going to deviate now, but just you have to trust me on that. Not word for word backwards, but phrase by phrase. You know what I mean? You're still reading forward, but you're reading a phrase, and then, oh no, else I would have got someone starting in the end of Revelations and reading backwards all the way to Genesis, and next week say, didn't do anything for me. No, just phrase by phrase. So we take this phrase at the end. It says, and His glory will be seen upon us. Isn't that wonderful? That His glory can be seen upon us. The closer we are to Him, the closer we orbit His presence in our life, the more He shines. And He's promised that His glory will be seen upon us. Not hopefully or maybe or... It's possible to have His glory shine upon you. And how is this going to happen? What confidence do you have in this? But the Lord will arise upon you. You see, when He arises and He shows His presence to us, there's an infection that takes place. I want to use the word contaminated in a good sense. It's like we are infected by His presence. And we desperately need this, because the next phrase says, because there's darkness that's going to cover the earth and thick darkness the people. It's in the midst of that, Lord, let your glory be seen on us as you arise upon us. Verse 1. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Wow. Is that just saying it by faith? Or is that a prophetic looking forward to? The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Who has the glory of God risen upon? Who can be so confident and so bold to say, not it will be, or hopefully, or but the glory of the Lord has risen upon you? Let's go to the first part then. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And then the very first word there is the word arise. My wife gave me some deep insight into this word arise. That in the original language, the word arise means to rise up. Just let that sink in. Just take some time now. Arise means to rise up. No breakfast for me tomorrow. But really, who needs to arise? People who are riseless, or unarised, or de-arised, or ex-arised. People who are just unarised. Unarised people are sleeping people. Arise means wake up. And that's the word that we need to hear. If we're going to experience the glory seen upon us, that the Lord rises upon us in the midst of darkness and thick darkness, if the glory will be on us and the light is come, it's going to start with a people that have rose up, awaken, wake up, awaken. And that is a word I believe that is going out in the spiritual atmosphere at the moment, across the Church of Jesus Christ. And certainly I'm here in Highway. Let me not speak for the whole body of Christ and be so presumptive. But certainly in this house, where He is wanting to build a house for His glory, we say, Lord, build on. Bring out the plumb line. Bring out the spirit level. Bring out the trowel and let's get to work. And the first word we hear from the master architect is, wake up. Are you asleep, spiritually speaking? And we looked at that this morning. I'm not going to cover it. We just looked at some causes and symptoms and cures for the whole condition of being spiritually asleep. Indications of being spiritually asleep is there's just like a drowsiness over us. When we try and hear from God, there's just a drowsiness. The Bible, we look at it, but it's just like, we could be Chinese, you know. It's just like, just little squiggles and little dots, and just doesn't make sense. And when people are worshiping and singing, we're not quite sure why they just go over the same thing over and over. And when the guy preaches, especially right now, just like a droning in the background going over my head, and I want to latch on and grab those concepts and thoughts, but I just, there's something in me that it's like a deafness, a dullness, a dreariness, a sleepiness. It's like I'm sleepwalking, and in my sleep, you know, when you have those confusing dreams where people are talking but it's all confusing. It's like a spiritual sleep over people. And that's the word to us. Is it's time to wake up. What did you say? The alarm clock went off. Whenever there's people sleeping, the alarm goes off. Very sharp, Jane. You should be up here tonight. I want to look at a couple of things. I've been quite intrigued at this, saying, God, how do we put some understanding to to this prophetic word of the house you're building. Your word is certainly seems to be coming and confirming that there's a wake-up call across the church. That there's a lot of people in this spiritual like drowsiness, and the reasons for that can range from just being spiritually unfit and never spending time in the spiritual disciplines of Christian life, and allowing a whole lot of garbage out there in the media and things to replace the Rhema word of God in their lives, and they allow all kinds of viruses and germs to get into their system, and because of that physical breakdown they just don't get the rest and sleep that they need to get, so they're tired all the time, they're drowsy, they're nodding off, as would happen in the physical realm. If you've got sickness, or if you're very unfit, or you have a sleeping disorder, or if you are eating wrong, and all those kind of things, how they affect your physical sleep. In the same way, spiritually sleeping, there are a whole lot of conditions that affect us that bring a spiritual drowsiness to our lives, that prevents us from hearing and understanding and computing and comprehending what God wants. And the cures for these things is very simple. In the same way that you would wake up a waking person by shaking them, sometimes God's got to shake us. He's got to get our attention. He's getting the attention of the world right now. There's a worldwide shaking, if you haven't noticed. I mean, your eyes are going to be really close together not to know that the world's going through trouble at the moment. What do you mean by that? Well, you've got to be really narrow-minded. Huh? You've got to be able to see through a keyhole with both eyes to know and accept that there's a huge shaking taking place. This world is, you know, the world's not going to be economically the way we've always known. It's changed forever. The control, I believe, is going to go into the hands of a few. And there's going to be a lot of legislation and there's going to be a lot of authority tied up in a few who are going to regulate and control the world's financial affairs. But that's all pointing in the direction of the end times. And I don't want to get into that, and I'm not an expert in that field. But there's huge shaking. And you know, God even allows shaking to take place in our lives when He wants to get our attention. Come on. A couple of people nodding. You know what I'm talking about. Get us out of our comfort zones. Get us out of our comfortable little lifestyles. Often there is a shaking. There is some shock treatment in our lives. And also there's the declaring, the trumpet sounding, calling for people's attention. Awake, awake, rise up, arise, shine. So this is how God's trying to get our attention. And I'm skimming over a little bit, so I'm sorry if you weren't here this morning. It's probably a little confusing right now, but just work with me. I'm wanting to get to this point, which is, as I thought about all this, the conditions of spiritual sleepiness, the cures to help the church come through that, I went to the Bible. I thought the best place always to get understanding is to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. What I mean by that? Well, I just did a very simple exercise, and I went and read up all the accounts of sleep and sleeping and waking and awaking and wake up and arise and all those things from Genesis right through to Revelations. And I picked up some themes and some key passages that bring a relationship between this condition we call spiritual sleepiness, dullness. Spiritual, what's another good word for that? Lethargy, apathy. And the fact that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to wake up so we don't miss the day that He's got for us. So I began looking in my Bible. Okay, so if that's introduction, it's over. Whew. Okay, now you can really take notes. Number one, some just examples of sleeping in the Bible. And it starts off really positively. Because when God created the most beautiful, spectacular sunsets and sunrises and beautiful, scenic, breathtaking beauty, the most beautiful thing He did was when He put man to sleep in Genesis 2 verse 21. And He made my wife. Alright, you didn't get that. Genesis 2 verse 21, man goes to sleep so that God creates. So that's a beautiful thing of creation. Second, part of that, also covenants were made. In Genesis 15, we see that Abraham, as he went, God put him to sleep. And as he fell into a deep sleep, this darkness came over him. And then when he came out of the sleep, God made covenant with him. We also see in Genesis 28 verse 16 that Jacob also, when he was sleeping in the desert, heaven opened up at Bethel. And there was a ladder that was, as he woke from his sleep, I didn't know these verses were coming up. Sorry, I just had the references, so thank you. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't aware of it when he woke up out of his sleep. It's like Bethel was a place of heavenly connection. It was like this portal of God's presence was opened up over his life. The very place where our Savior was born. And the covenant between a holy God and fallen man unable to solve his predicament, God intervened through covenant and made a way. Blessings from God. Sleep itself is a blessing from God. We see in Proverbs 3 verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Come on now, who enjoys a good kip? Sunday afternoon. Isn't that, what's it about Sunday afternoons? It's like everybody you say after lunch, it's like, just like the whole temperature just goes into sleepiness. It's a wonderful time. Nothing wrong with physical sleep. It's a blessing from God. Providing we don't do what the next thing this says, which is some warnings about things that can happen to us while we are asleep. And now we're getting more to the nitty-gritty of waking up. Proverbs 19 verse 15. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. Do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. So that's quite a strong word. And I'm glad it's in the Bible and not something I said tonight. Because it's, you say, oh, that's condemning. You know, no, that's in the Bible. It says, if we love sleep and we won't be productive. If that's all we want, every opportunity we get all the time, just sleep, sleep, sleep. You know anybody like that? Please don't mention their names. We'll never have bread to share with others. If the Lord is speaking to you about getting up half an hour earlier so that you can catch the best time of the day, time with Him before the busyness of the world comes in around you, and we'd rather sleep through that half an hour, when we know that's the only time we can connect meaningfully with Him, we'll not have bread to share with people what the Lord has said to us, what the Lord has done in our lives. And we don't have to get under conviction, condemnation about that if that's not the time that works for us. God might have another time in the day, but certainly give us today our daily bread. You need a time when you are eating at His table in His presence. And if we become lazy about that time that we are spending with Him, we will not have anything fresh. And we'll always be eating the crumbs and the droppings of others. Bread crumbs off the table. Samson was deceived. Another scripture here. It says, Delilah then said to Samson, until now you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. You know the story, the context of that? Was that for a couple of times she'd been trying to get his secret out of him. Watch out, boys. She tried a couple of times to extract this information out of him, and he'd kind of always sent her off on a tangent, a little goose chase there. And now she's kind of coming in for the kill. Tell me how you can be tied up. He replied, And he tells her the truth. If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his hair, wove them into the fabric. The enemy is looking for our weakness all the time. He knows when he can get you in that area of weakness, he knows he can take your strength. And it happens when we allow ourselves to drift off into spiritual sleep. I used the illustration this morning. I said one of the ways that we need to wake up is to get out of our comfort zone. If I took a bottle of water here and went like this, why would that startle you? Because you're comfortable. You're sitting there. You got half an hour, 15 minutes before you go drink coffee, and your mind can just start going into zzzz mode. You see, spiritual drowsiness is looking for an opportunity all the time. And when it comes, the enemy knows what our weaknesses are, and it's during those times of spiritual tiredness, those times of spiritual comatosis, that the enemy is able to get us. We see in Jonah chapter 1 verse 5, says there, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck to pray and intercede for their lives. Where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Doesn't this sound a bit like someone you know? Or a church you know? You know, not in Durban, but somewhere. Doesn't it sound like Christians? The ship is going down, and the safest place is to go and sleep. Like Keith Green said, it's possible for the church to sleep in the light on the way to heaven while the church is in the darkness sleeping on the way to hell. It's a long time ago since I heard that song, so don't quote me on that. I think it's changed a little bit. Hey, is that me? You see, and then the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us and we will not have to perish. When we're out of God's will, it's not only us that's on a slippery slope, but there's a whole lot of people around us that we begin affecting. And the lives of others are also affected. When we allow spiritual drowsiness to come over us, when we aren't exercising in the disciplines of God's Word, when we're not eating the right, correct diet to keep our bodies strong and fresh, when we're not getting the right amount of sleep, healthy sleep in Him, as we learn to rest in Him, and we go into a state of unfitness spiritually, we find ourselves sleeping while the ship is going down the tube. The disciples missed out on a defining moment here. Matthew 26, verse 40. Speaking about Jesus in the garden. Did you see the film The Passion? Any of you? Some of you? I watched it again. Do yourself a favor. Watch it again. I think I enjoyed it just as much watching it the other night as I did enjoyed is a difficult word, to use, because you don't enjoy it. You're not entertained by it. But it's just impacting in what those 3 days were in the life of Christ. And where it starts off when he's in the garden and he's interceding and crying out to his Father, recognizing the anguish and the pain of being separated from his Heavenly Father. And it says here in verse 40, when he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. And when he returned to his disciples, notice how many times is it now? three times. Still sleeping and resting. Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. One of the calls to the church to be awake is to watch and pray. Because when we go into the days of turmoil and days of pain and suffering and rejection, the church can ill afford to be sleeping in those seasons. We can ill afford in our own lives to be sleeping when Christ is calling us to pray. There will be times He'll call us in corporate prayer, but most of the time it's individually. When He comes in the time of need in others' lives who are going through rejection and hardship and suffering, and He looks for someone who will stand in the gap, someone who will be willing to pray and intervene for them, and He finds us sleeping. How does His glory come? It's through a praying church. It's through people who've been quickened to His presence, who are hungry for Him and say, God, here I am, I'll stand in the gap. Jesus, with His own disciples, comes to them three times, three occasions, finds them sleeping. Could that be a warning that in our lives, when the Lord comes to us, wanting to put His desires in our hearts, wanting to put His spiritual burden on us to pray for situations, that He finds His church is sleeping? We also see that in the passage we've been looking at in the morning, in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, He took with Him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as He was praying, the appearance of His face was altered and His clothes became dazzling white. And He beheld two men were talking with Him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of His departure, which He was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with Him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw His glory and the two men who stood with Him. How tragic it would have been for them to miss out on such a wonderful manifestation of His presence. The same Lord who says, I'm building my church and I'm building it so that I can fill it with my glory. How tragic it would be to be sleeping spiritually through that season when He wants to come and manifest His presence in our midst. No wonder the word is going out to awake, to arise. He loves us too much. He's too committed to His glory and the purpose of His church to allow us to sleep. So He will shake us. He will shock us. He will shout prophetically, arise and shine. And here we have a picture of the disciples in the midst of this blaze of triumphant glory and splendor. They found sleeping as a picture and a type of the church, in a time of His visitation, in a time when He wants to show Himself. Does He first have to take us and wake us before He can show Himself? It says there the words, when they became fully awake, they saw His glory. Is that what it's going to take before we see Him? That we become fully awake? Or do we become fully awake when we see Him? Which is it? I think it can be both. But here, it's the first. There was a waking up within them as they came to their senses, out of the spiritual drowsiness, we begin to recognize that He is with us. We see, thirdly, in Jesus' parables, some things that He has to say about sleep. And there's a warning that the enemy can take advantage of us. In Matthew chapter 13, it says in verse 25, speaking about the tares and the wheat, the parable of the tares and the wheat, it says in verse 25, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. Notice it says that while they were sleeping. It doesn't say they were dead. I mean, if the church is dead, that's another whole thing altogether. Then He's got to resurrect it. If we're dead, spiritually, we've got to be regenerated. In other words, we've got to be born again. We've got to be made alive. Spiritually dead is a whole different subject. Spiritually dead people need to be spirit made alive. This is talking about people who are sleeping. So could it be that we as believers in this parable are a bit like Samson, a bit like Jonah, a bit like the disciples, that while they were sleeping, the enemy came and began to sow seeds. It's during those seasons of spiritual dullness where we just haven't got the fortitude and the grip on a dynamic living relationship with Jesus, that the enemy comes with slander and criticism. And what about this? I heard the church did this and I heard about that. And we begin allowing the enemy to cast his seeds. Still in Jesus' parable, it says in 25 verse 5, we should stay ready for the return of the Lord. Verse 5, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps when they heard the voice of the Master. But there was a spiritual drowsiness, a spiritual sleepiness that came over those who were supposed to be waiting. And the cultural context of that is that they would go out and light up the way for the bridegroom to come to his bride. A picture of Jesus coming back again. And the church should be like the morning star, ready to rise before him, like Venus does on the eastern horizon, announcing that the sun is coming up. So the church is supposed to be a herald and a declarer, prophetically, that this is the time of his presence, this is the season. But they were sleeping. Fourthly, Jesus' final warning to us in the book of Revelation. In chapter 3 and verse 2 it says, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. And if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. And you will not even know what time I will come to you. Behold, I will come like a thief. And we know in Scripture that Jesus said that we won't be taken unawares. Those who are awake and alert won't be taken unawares by the coming of the Lord. We'll know the season. We'll discern it. But if we're sleeping, we won't discern it. We'll only discern if we are awake. Jesus speaking to the church in Revelation chapter 3. A word of warning, a word of exhortation. It's time to wake up, to rise from your sleep. Blessed is he who stays awake and keep his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. That's carrying with the illustration that they slept without clothes on. Okay. But that would be kind of embarrassing, eh? Do you ever dream like that? You've got no pants on. Hold your shirt down. Anybody dream like that? I was a little kid. There was an issue there somewhere. I don't know. But I've spoken to people who, I used to dream, have a regular dream. There's a fear of being like a crowd of people. I'm very shy by nature. Especially if you're naked. And you're running around. You've got to wake up quickly. It's only a dream. Go to school. Anyone go to school in your dream without clothes on? Some of you are nodding and you're going, oh, somebody else. It's not only me. You're free. You're free. But that's a terrible, embarrassing thing that can happen. Jesus says, I don't want you to be embarrassed like that. I don't want you to be caught unawares. Stay awake so that day doesn't come like a thief. And then finally, some challenges that are things that we have to do for ourselves. Psalm 54 verse 8 says, awake my soul. Say my soul. You see, there's something about hearing a prophetic word, awake, it's time to wake up. But there's also another sense in which we have to command our own souls and say, hey, you've been sleeping long enough, bro. You've been resting, you've been dozy, you're unfit, you You're eating too many McDonald's burgers, junk garbage, movies, magazines, books, stuff that's not edifying you. Sitting too much on Mixit and Facebook and YouTube and DTube and that tube and all kinds of other things that aren't helping my brain. Awake my soul. Wake up. We've got to speak to ourselves. Awake. I will awaken the dawn. There's a decision in there that I'm going to awaken. Who wants to be part of that triumphant morning star that's going to awaken the dawn? Those who are going to herald in the Lord's coming. Arise and shine, that your light may come, that the glory of the Lord may rise upon you. Ephesians 4 verse 15. Challenges still. Something that we have to do for ourselves. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Say to your soul, wake up. Wake up. Time to wake up. And when we do that, Christ will rise. He will shine on you. So then, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. The others. I don't know who the others are. Ever heard of the others? The others. There's some others. Are there any others among us? Well, these others are the others that are sleeping. They're the others. It says, don't be like the others. Don't be, the others are all at home tonight anyway. The others aren't here, they're at home. Don't be like the others who are asleep, but be alert. You see, alert is the opposite of being drowsy. Alert means you're alert. Alert means you stay sharp. Let's stand together. All you who aren't others, please stand. Spirit of God, would you just come and breathe on us tonight? I wonder if you just pray after me. Father God, arise and shine on me. There's darkness over this land. Thick darkness over the peoples. But you will arise upon me. And your glory will be seen upon me. And Lord, I pray for every person that's standing here tonight under the sound of this word. And I ask that that word, that call, that shout in the spirit realm tonight, to awake. To awake. Snap out of that sleep. Snap out of that lethargy and drowsiness. And come awake. And when we hear the word, it sticks. When we pray, it's joy. When we worship, it's heaven. When we witness, it's alive. Lord, we pray that we'd wake up out of our slumber, out of our sleepiness, and out of our drowsiness as a church. Lord, you've commanded that your church wake up. And Lord, we believe you've said that, and it was recorded that it would come down to the end of time, to the church that would be around before the wonderful and glorious day of your appearing. And we want to be found delighting in you. We want to be found with our lamps full. We want to be not found as Jonah running away from the call of God, but we want to be found pursuing the call of God. We don't want to be found, Lord, like those tares amongst the wheat. But Lord, we want to be alert and self-controlled, that the enemy will not get a foothold. Just as everyone's head's bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you, if you're visiting here tonight, or you've been coming for a while, and your life is not under the authority of Jesus Christ, and you don't even know if you're sleeping, because you don't know if you were ever made awake in the first place. You don't know if you were ever born again in your spirit. I want you just to look up at me. If you're saying, tonight I feel I want to make that right, I'd love an opportunity to pray for you, just where you're standing. And you say, tonight I'm responding to Jesus Christ's call of my life, to return to Him, to be born again. And I want you just to look up at me wherever you're standing. Everyone else will just be praying in their heart for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And as you, if you're looking up at me now, just pray this prayer. Just in your heart. You don't have to pray it aloud. Just say, Lord Jesus, You are the light of the world. I'm turning away from my darkness of sin and rebellion. And I'm coming into Your light. I believe You died for my sin, that You were raised to the glory of God on the third day. I pray that my dead spirit would be made alive in Jesus' name. And if there's anybody else here right now that you're feeling spiritually, you've allowed yourself to nod off. You've tried to watch the end of the film, but as hard as you've tried, your eyes have just got heavier and heavier and heavier. And you know you're not crisp and alert to the things of God right now in your life. Just pray this prayer in your heart where you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say to my soul tonight, awake. And Holy Spirit, would You come to everyone who's desperate for that to happen in their lives and show them whatever area is holding them in bondage tonight and bring them free. And we say over you, my friend, my brother, my sister, whoever you are tonight, arise and shine, for your light has come. In Jesus' name. Amen.